Good morning, everyone. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Joshua. It's in the form of a question. It comes from chapter 5, verse 13. It reads, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" To set up the context for this scripture, the Israelites have crossed the Jordan River into the promised land of Canaan. And they are preparing for battle against the city of Jericho. The leader of the Israelites, Joshua, we find him by himself, maybe to evaluate how to defeat Jericho, or to contemplate on what the Israelite army needs to do to overcome this mighty challenge that is ahead of them. Because the city of Jericho was well fortified. The city was surrounded with a double ring of large stone walls. Timbers were laid on top of these stone walls to support houses, such as Rahab's, which was covered in chapter 2. Excavations at this site reveal that the stone walls were about 13 feet high, and a watchtower was about 28 feet tall. Furthermore, Jericho was built on a hill, giving the enemy a great disadvantage because of that steep incline. So the how to defeat this city or even pass through these walls must have weighed a lot on Joshua's mind. Then all of a sudden, Joshua sees this man with a drawn sword standing in front of him. So Joshua asks, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" So I just want to read Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." Like Joshua, we may tend to see our problems, our setbacks, our challenges that lie ahead of us, only ours. We can become prideful and develop the attitude, "It's my problem. I'll deal with it." How many of us have ever said that or felt that way? Then naturally, we try to find some kind of worldly means to overcome our problems. We tend to look horizontal instead of vertical towards God. The point is that because of our pride, we'd rather solve our own problems than place the burden on others. Proverbs 12:15 reads, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Believers, life's greatest questions are found in God's Word. We may have to do some digging for the answers, but they're in there. They are in there. Our great God and Savior, He is the overcomer of this world. And His guidance and His direction for our lives are found right here in the book. James 1:5 reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You see, God wants you to place your burdens on Him, not keep them for yourself. In this story, we see God inject Himself into Joshua's situation. By doing so, it seems that God wanted Joshua to look to Him for help. Look to Him for help in overcoming the problems and the challenges that lie ahead. You see, one thing about pride It's one of the greatest stone walls that prevents help from others. One quote reads, "Pride must be a summer thing because it comes before the fall." You see, Joshua had previous encounters with God through hearing His voice or witnessing God as a pillar of a cloud at the tabernacle door. But this is the first time Joshua saw God in the image of man. And Joshua, he wasn't sure at first who this was. I'm not saying there is a parallel here, but many today are not sure who Jesus is as well. So this feels like a gospel presentation. But I also want to preach this sermon for those who are without Christ. Not just us for victorious Christian living, but those that are without Christ. So I want to draw upon three things that come out of this passage. First, we are to acknowledge God for who He is. Second, acknowledge God as our ally. And third, acknowledge that without God, we can do nothing of ourselves that is of eternal value. First, we are to acknowledge God. This passage here is one of many theophanies in the Old Testament. A theophany is a manifestation of God, a visible appearance of God. So here we see God in the pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Some pulpits may teach that this was simply an angel that appeared before Joshua, not God. But angels are forbidden to receive worship. And a great example of this is found in the book of Revelations with the Apostle John. Revelation chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. It reads, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'That you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" So angels, they don't receive worship. Furthermore, in this case, once Joshua understood who this was, he fell on his face to worship. The Lord accepted it and told Joshua, "Take off your sandal, for the place where you stand is holy." This doesn't mean that the ground that Joshua was standing on was holy, but that he was in the presence of holiness. The same thing occurred with Moses as well, when God revealed himself at the burning bush. And God said the same thing. "Take off your sandals. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Exodus 3:5. The removal of sandals was a sign of reverence and worship to God. For believers, the best sign of reverence or worship we can do for God is with our daily living. Honoring God with our work life, our home life, our life with our friends, but more importantly, our life alone. Your alone time is very revealing to God. It reveals your true character because you're not putting on a mask for anybody else. You're alone. But even if you did, He sees right through it. The point is for believers to remain heavenly minded all the time. Not just on Sunday mornings in church, all the time. For those without Christ, the commander of the army of the Lord who went to meet Joshua, He wants to meet you too. He is the King above all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He has the only name given from above, the only name from which we could be saved, Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians 1:15 reads, He is the image of the invisible God. 1 Timothy 3:16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. You see, many powerful leaders in history want to be considered a God. But we have a loving God who became man. A man without sin. A man who took our sins upon himself. 1 John 3:5, And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He said, I and the Father are one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His years will not fail. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And His arms are open, wide open, and He wants to meet you. If you are without Christ, consider the invitation. Not by doing, but by believing. Second point of application is to acknowledge that God is our ally. You see, God appeared before Joshua to demonstrate that He is readily available and there for him. God appeared with a sword drawn, and it shows that He was there ready to fight. And not only fight, but win the battle for us, for His people. Believers, not only is God in us, He is for us. And He wants to fight for us as well. He is known as our divine defender. Deuteronomy 20 verse 4 reads, For the Lord your God, He who goes with you, not to fight for you against your... Excuse me, let me just say that again. Deuteronomy 20 verse 4 reads, For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. To save you. Now the answer God gives Joshua when asked, Are you for us or our adversaries? In the King James Version, God's answer is no. Other translations, the answer is neither. Deuteronomy 10:17 reads, For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. The great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. You see, the wisdom of the world today thinks that they can win God over with their things that they do, their good deeds. A quote by Stephen Lawson states that salvation is not a reward for the righteous, but a gift for the guilty. We're all filthy sinners separated from a holy God. The sooner we acknowledge that we are sinners in need of a Savior, the better. There's only one who fits that title, and that's Jesus Christ. Place your faith, place your trust in Him. His life, His death, His resurrection. Place your trust in Him. Second, rather than asking God if He is on our side, we should be asking ourselves if we are on His side. Are you living according to God's plan? Because His plan involves you. God is our ally. He is our divine defender. The battles we face, they're not truly yours. They're His. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. God is our ally, not only in outside battles, but the inward battles as well. Galatians 5:17 reads, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Kind of like the Apostle Paul, who stated in, I think it was Corinthians, "I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I should do." It's spirit versus the flesh. And God is our ally to help us to do the things that we should be doing. Psalm 44:5 reads, "Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us." God is your ally. Not because you are better than anyone else, whether it's an enemy or not. Deuteronomy 9:24 reads, "You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you." Jesus came for sinners. And under the umbrella of sin are many kinds. The kind doesn't matter. Jesus died for all sins. 1 John 3:8 reads, "He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Believer, he is standing before you to help you and defend you at all times. Unbeliever, he is standing before you and wants to help you and wants to receive you into his heavenly kingdom. You, as well as everyone else, are part of his redemptive plan. Will you receive it? You see, the sin bondage that the devil has you in is preventing you from eternal life with God. Your sin bondage is sending you to eternal prison of hell. But again, Jesus Christ is our ally, and only he has the keys to death. He took all our sins, my sins, the sins of the world upon himself. He stood in the gap. He hung on the cross. And he did it all for us. And we will no longer die in our sins because of him, not us. They all got abolished, taken away by his sinless shed blood. Your sins are washed clean. Believe this. Believe in Christ's work on the cross for our behalf. God not only sent his Son to be your ally, but more importantly, your Savior. And now is the time to receive him. Third point of application is to acknowledge that without God, we can do nothing of ourselves. That is of eternal value. If Joshua didn't acknowledge God for who he is, if Joshua did not get on board with God's plan, then there is no way that the Israelite army defeats the city of Jericho. No way. In Joshua chapter 6, it records the destruction of Jericho. Not by carnal means, the ways of the world, but by God. This story is like an analogy for believers and unbelievers today. You see, without God's love, without God's grace, we can do nothing of ourselves of eternal value. Believers, we can't have that prideful mindset. We're still sinners. We're no better than anyone else. Joshua and the Israelites would not have broken down those walls surrounding Jericho if it wasn't for God. Just like we cannot do anything of ourselves to break down the wall that separates God from us by ourselves. No way. Galatians 6:3 reads, "For if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So praise God. Praise God for having Jesus tear down that wall of separation. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Believer, there's no problem that is bigger than God. God made those fortified walls surrounding Jericho. They came down like nothing. God is bigger than your problems. Keep the faith. Remember, God made you. He heals you. He forgives you. He blessed you. But most importantly, He loves you. Unbelievers, am I hearing? The biggest problem you have is that your soul is apart from God and is heading for hell. No matter how rebellious you think you are towards God, no matter how much you think that you don't need God in your life, you will come to terms with God and you will acknowledge Him for who He is, either in this lifetime or the next. But I pray that is in this lifetime, because we get no second chances. This is it. We all will stand before the judgment seat of God. You know, it's easier to see God's love, but please don't ever ignore His wrath. Philippians 2, 10-11 reads that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, consider God's love for you. He took care of the sin problem separating you from God. He did all the work. Your sin debt is paid in full. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friends, while we see our problems as lasting, rest assured, Jesus stepped up and He willingly took care of our eternal problem through His shed blood. Jesus is our ally and our advocate. He is our Lord, He is our God, and He is our Savior. Amen. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for being our divine defender. Thank You, God, for stepping up and taking care of our problems. The main problem that we have is eternal separation from You. Thank You for taking our sins upon Yourself. Thank You for the sacrifice that You've made on our behalf. Thank You for being willing to place our burdens onto Yourself. And we as believers, I pray that we become less prideful. Stop thinking that everything is on our own. But again, we have an advocate. We have the great and mighty overcomer of this world. And I pray that we continue to lean on You. You are here for us, always and forever. And we just want to say thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.